James Lewis is the director of the Technology and Public Policy Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C. Now, you've done some research into the online market of illegal credit card numbers. If, say, I wanted to buy some numbers, how would I go about it?
The first thing you'd have to do is you'd have to persuade the managers of these markets that you were legitimate, or maybe we should say illegitimate. You'd have to persuade them you weren't a cop, that you were a criminal, and that they could trust you. You'd also have to figure out a way for you to be able to trust them. But if you could find some way to let them know that you were a real cyber criminal and they let you into their market, you would be able to go ahead and buy tools, weapons, information, credit card numbers. You could buy practically anything you wanted.
And how do would-be cyber criminals go about convincing those people who sell those numbers that one can be trusted?
Usually you have to know somebody, you know. So if there's someone who's already in the market, who's learned through experience or the hard way, or has been doing this for a while, and they know you, they trust you, they'll vouch for you, they'll give you the links to get in or the information you need. So it starts out as a social network. Your friends are criminals, and they help you get in.
So if you have to know someone on the inside of the illegal market for credit card numbers, how many credit card numbers are sold this way?
Oh, we're looking at hundreds of thousands. You know, it's easy for these folks to harvest these things. There's a lot of folks doing this. We're looking at a criminal underworld that involves thousands of people. The other advantage for them is, you know, it doesn't mean you have to sit in front of your keyboard to commit a crime. You write a program that then can commit 10,000 crimes in a minute. So we've seen the automation of cybercrime, and that's made it a lot easier to collect a lot of information.
And where are those hundreds of thousands of people trying to get credit card numbers?
You know, it's spread around the world because this is an attractive lifestyle in some places.
Where is it an attractive lifestyle?
It's attractive in the U.S., it's attractive in Brazil, it's attractive in Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union, it's attractive in Asia. So anywhere where there's programming skills, you will find cyber criminals.
And what about the victims? I mean, as you've conducted your investigations and research into this world of identity theft, do you think that there's any country or countries that are more susceptible to this than another?
Well, absolutely. And it's the country that does the most online and has the most money. That would be the United States.
And we talk about identity theft. I mean, we've been talking about this particular incident, people getting charged for plasma TVs that they didn't buy. But what else is at stake here when we're talking identity theft?
You know, the biggest thing that's at stake is a loss of confidence in the Internet as a medium for business, because that's been a source of real economic growth in the U.S. And if we see people suddenly saying, kind of like what I'm saying, you know what, maybe I won't do this online anymore, that could be very damaging, because this is a source of growth and we don't want to have people scared out of one of the best places to make our economy work better. That's the real risk. You know, the onesies and twosies here, and I don't mean to belittle the losses that people suffer when their identity is taken, but that's manageable, and I think you're seeing some progress there. It's this larger loss of confidence in the Internet as an economic tool that could really hurt the United States.
James Lewis, director of the Technology and Public Policy Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, speaking with us from Washington. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks a lot.